Mr. Hochberg is in our studio.
Yeah.
The Vice President of Lending at Homeside Financial. Visit Home Sweet Home Chicago, Saturdays from 10 to 1. Sometimes different times if you get bumped around a little bit.
Yep. We get bumped around with football games and basketball games with Northwestern, but we're pretty steady 10 to 1 now. We should have a good run till the fall.
What's the 30-year fixed going for now?
I heard the news say the average was 5.3. Good luck finding that. It's in the upper fives today. I mean that's where you're at today.
Well, what's the difference between what is generally reported and what happens in your office?
Yeah, what's generally reporting is a week lag time. And that's it's an average of 740 borrowers closing in 15 days. It's an unrealistic number, right? Because that's what the banks are going out. And then you've got to build a profit on top of that. So
the number quoted is always for the best client?
For the best client of the week prior. So when you come out and you're like, yeah, and the 30-year fixed average is 5.3. Yeah, good luck finding that. It's not a realistic number. The rate is typically at least a quarter to a half a point higher than the average.
So what's a realistic number to shoot for? No points.
If you were purchasing 20% down single family home, we just did a couple buying in Evanston. Single family home, 20% down, $400,000 mortgage. They got 5.75%.
5.75.
If you were doing a cash out transaction, 80%. With the 700 credit score, you're going to be 6.5 to 6.75 due to the loan level price adjusters because you're taking cash out about to 80% of the value of your home. So you got to be careful.
That happened pretty quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened since January 1st. January 1st, we were trading a 30-year fixed loan, 3.25. Today, you're in the upper fives, low sixes. So welcome to the world that we know it. And again, gas prices up north, I filled up yesterday. $4.67, I think, at Costco. I passed a station. It was 20 cents higher this morning, $4.87 in Lake County at the corner of Lake Cook and Skokie Boulevard. So it's crazy.
You got a question about loans and the best way to do it now? 312-981-7200. David's here for this half hour. Hawk, what else should we know about what's going on with rising interest rates? You're the mortgage guy.
Yeah, the adjustable rate mortgages, you're going to start hearing more and more and more about them because the adjustable rate mortgages were essentially extinct. When you have a 30-year fixed at 2.5% 2 years ago, there was no room for an adjustable rate mortgage. Now that the rates are up in the high fives, low sixes today, you're going to start seeing adjustable rate mortgages, and there's nothing wrong with an adjustable rate mortgage. It's also known as an ARM. They're typically amortized over 30 years, 360 months, so you still get the same low payment as if you were going into a 30-year fixed loan. It's typically a 5, 7, 10, or 15-year fixed ARM. Okay, what does that mean? It's fixed for 60 months on a 5-year, 84 months for a 7-year, 120 months for a 10-year, and 180 for a 15-year.
What's the rate you get on that now?
It's typically about 1.5 to 2 points lower than what a fixed rate loan is. And most of our listeners are going to live in their home, according to the real estate average, is about 7 years. I have an ARM, okay? I could have locked into a 30-year fixed loan in the twos or threes when I refinance. I refinance personally. Doctor takes his own and her own medicine into an ARM because I did an interest-only loan, and I did a 10-year interest-only loan. So there's nothing wrong with an ARM. I know that we're going to hit a recession here eventually, and they're going to lower rates again, and most of our listeners will refinance. If you have to lock in a rate between the beginning of the year and now, you're going to refinance. Sometime, as soon as the rates drop, if you're working with a good mortgage professional, they'll call you
before
you call.
Why did you do an ARM? Because why would you do that? You could have locked in 2.5 or 3.
I got a 2.5% 10-year ARM, interest only.
So to save a half a percent, you did an ARM instead of a fixed rate?
No, it would have been about 0.75 points. And the money that I'm saving, not paying down my principal, I'm giving to my financial advisor, who's investing that money into other investments that's earning me greater than 2.5%. And if my financial planner can't get me more than 2.5%, I'll have a new financial planner by the end of the month.
Well, I wouldn't blame my financial planner if he couldn't do much.
No, he's been good. He's been great.
But you understand my point.
I fully understand.
So where do you put money that's going to guarantee you?
There's nothing to guarantee, John, but he's been running about 7.5 to 12.5% over the past 15, 20 years I've been working with him.
You were telling the chairs in the hall and anybody that would listen the other day that you think part of the problem with inflation right now is because we were... Did I correctly hear you? We gave away too much stimulus money?
We gave a ton of money away. Businesses and individuals that didn't need the money during the pandemic got the money.
Including, well, how are they going to discern who did and didn't need it?
I have no idea. That's a federal government question.
I know that, but I mean, they had a hammer, and maybe they needed a more precise tool.
100%.
But what were they going to do? I don't think you're wrong, but I also don't think saying that is prescriptive. Like, okay, what are we going to do next time? I don't know what we're going to do.
I think you should have put in some type of safeguard with the tax returns. If your tax returns didn't show a certain amount of reduced income, then you'd have to pay it back. Here's the money. But guess what? If you had a record year during that time period, then you didn't need the money.
Do you blame people that took the money?
I don't blame anybody for taking the money. No, I don't blame them. But the people that are taking the money, my friends that took the money, are now complaining about inflation. Okay, that I know had record years and didn't need the money. And I said, well, you didn't need the money. How can we? I said, so give it back. They're like, hell no, I'm not giving it back.
Yeah.
So I fully understand. We had to flush the system with cash in order to get over what we went over, right? We had a head shot and a gut shot and a foot shot. I mean, we got the economy got whacked with COVID. I understand what they did. And this is what happens on the other side when there's too much money that came in. And some of our listeners used it to survive, and others listeners used it to take vacations, and other listeners I know bought boats.
Or saved.
The people I know didn't save it. Most of them put it in the economy.
And I think a lot of people saved it, too, no?
I'm just saying the individuals that I know,
yeah,
right, that own their own businesses went out and spent that money, okay?
Well, we did want them to do that, too.
And it worked. Okay, but those individuals that didn't need to get the money because their businesses weren't negatively impacted.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you, David. I just wish I knew, because heaven help us all if we go through something like this again. But what's the lesson we've learned? Maybe Congress or the somebody need to come up with a infrastructure,
sure,
a financial infrastructure that better directs the money to the people who need it.
100% right. I agree with you 100%. But at the time, there was blood in the streets. The economy was crunching
to
a halt.
Well, then would you say is it your opinion then that the high interest rates we're going through right now are a natural consequence?
100%.
And what would you say would have been a better choice for the Fed or the Congress to let businesses and people die 2 years ago?
I didn't say that.
To suffer the consequences now, which is high interest rates and a recession.
Well, you know, the other side to that is we've got a crazy man in Russia who's invading a perfectly, you know, sovereign state and causing a war out there that's screwing up supply chains again.
Yeah.
All right. That's impacting prices on a bunch of things.
Did you see what the president is calling that? Putin's price hike.
Yeah.
Putin's price hike is the high price for gas and groceries right now. And I think that while that is beyond germane, that's one of the major factors,
sure,
here. The buck stops where? It stops at Joe Biden's desk. It stops at the Congress's desk.
It always does.
The Fed chair. So I'm not real interested in the fancy rhetoric that says, oh, this is Putin's fault.
How are we going to get out of it?
It's your problem to fix. Right.
Correct.
You're the guy that's going to fix this, not
right.
Putin.
Nobody cares about whose fault it is when you're putting in $4.87 a gallon gas in your car.
I got to stop talking to you right now. I'm out of time.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Are you going to be on this weekend?
I hope so. Yeah, that's the plan. I hope to make it to Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning to 1. We've got a full bank of experts coming in. And Chicago Culinary Kitchen is bringing in prime rib. So if you want to listen to us eat great food at noon on Saturday.
Home Sweet Home Chicago, Saturdays 10 to 1 with David Hochberg from Homesite Financial. Thank you, sir.